Man, love worshiping with all of you. Love seeing a full house here today. And man, we're just so excited about what we're gonna experience here today. Obviously, is a special Sunday. Every Sunday is a great Sunday because we get to celebrate the Lord Jesus risen. But today we get to celebrate 17 total people, everybody, getting baptized. Yeah, in the name of Jesus. I think that's awesome. Awesome. So before we get to that, though, I'm going to have everybody just shake somebody's hand, say good morning to somebody, bump an elbow, whatever you want to do. Welcome them into this place. I know we got a lot of visitors here, so we're glad you're here. All of you watching online, so glad you're joining us as well. Well, today is, again, a special day, and I do want to just really quickly, if you are new, if this is your first time visiting, welcome, we're glad you're here. Just want to direct your attention to the Connect card that's in the chair backs there in front of you. We'd love a record of your visit, and you could go to the guest services table after service and drop that off. We would just, that's all we ask of you today. Just glad that you are here with us. But before we get into our baptisms, I do want to just highlight one quick thing. I have a big announcement because there is kind of a change in plans for Easter, and so I want to talk about Easter really, really quick. Throw it up there. The word's been spreading a little bit, but one thing that I want to announce is that Good Friday service is going to be like it always is. We'll be in here on April 18th, 7 o'clock for a Good Friday communion service, so I want to welcome you to come to that. But then the big announcement is this, is that on Easter Sunday, because we have so many people, we can't, like, unless we want to do six services or something, what we're going to do is we are going to have two services at Hurricane High School, 9 and 11 a.m. No services here. It's just because we're expecting over 3,000 people. Amen, everybody. So that's going to be awesome. Yeah. So all the services are going to be there. You don't have to register anything. And you can wear your Winfield stuff and Polka stuff and Nitro stuff. That's fine. Cowboy Midland, shout out. Not, you know, whoever. Wear your colors. We're all united in Christ. Okay. And, but man, we're really looking forward to that. I think it's going to be an awesome day. So put that on your calendars. Remember, we will not be having Easter services here, but at Hurricane High School at 9 and 11. And so we're gonna keep worshiping this morning through celebrating baptism. We're going to hear eight stories today, eight testimonies. And again, we just want to say this really quick, that what we're going to see is people, this is a step of obedience, that salvation doesn't happen when you're baptized. It happens before this. This is just the first step of obedience in Jesus Christ. And what we're lucky enough to hear, what we're privileged to hear is these stories that they're going to share about how Jesus became their Savior. And so with that said, we're going to get to the first story in our baptisms.
Hi, my name is Emma Polly. My life before Christ, I was just kind of going through life not really with a purpose. I wasn't treating people how I should be treating them, and I wasn't really full of life like how I feel like I should be. Whenever I was in middle school, I went to summer camp, which really started my journey through Christ, but I recently went to college this semester, and that really showed me what Christ was. I was very more focused on Christ. I started going to BCM every Wednesday. I noticed like I was often like finding myself crying at BCM, and I honestly feel like that was the moment I was like fully like giving myself to Christ. My pastor at BCM was very like, he would pray with me all the time, and then obviously I would obviously pray by myself all the time, so I think that was the most important. Jesus to me is truly my Savior. Without Him, I don't think I would be nearly the person I am today.
Hi, my name is Brooklyn James. My life before Christ was really stressful. I was worried and anxious about things I had no control over. I would say,
hey, a couple quick questions for you, and then.
My name is Emma Paul.
I'm not sure what's going on here.
I was just kind of going through life, not really with a purpose. I wasn't treating people how I should be treating them, and I wasn't really full of life like how I feel like I should be. Whenever I was in middle school, I went to summer camp, which really started my journey through.
Now I'm on. All right. Hey, technology is great when it works. A couple of quick questions for you, and then her friend Sophie is going to baptize her this morning. Have you placed your faith in Christ for the forgiveness of your sins?
Yes.
All right, then based on that confession of faith, Sophie is going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah! Hello, my name is Nate Pauly. So my life before Christ, I mean, it was good, but I like knew something wasn't like always there with me, and I could feel that a part of my life was missing. So I was about 8 or 9. I was very sick in the hospital, and I decided to ask him to, you know, watch over me and help me fight through this virus, and he responded to that, and that's when I really started to become a firm believer. So at first, I asked Jesus to come to my heart and help me get through this virus that I was fighting at the time, and then I told my parents about the experience, and ever since, we've kind of been coming to church here, and it's just been great ever since. So I kind of say, like, Jesus is my best friend, because I talk to him every night, and even, it doesn't have to be at night, I just talk to him throughout the day, and I ask him for help, and I just ask him to guide me through things. Hello, my name is Nate Pauly. I'm here to get baptized to show my friends and family that I've placed my faith in Jesus.
Yes, good stuff. So you have placed your faith in Christ?
Yes.
Is it your desire to show your friends and family that you're going to follow him all the days of your life?
Yes.
All right, then based on that confession, Eric is going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hey, my name is Paisley Bragg. My life before Christ was pretty bad. My dad had an alcohol problem, and I would have to lock myself in my room sometimes just because I would get scared of what he would do. Thankfully, this September of 2023, my mom took me away from him. So now I'm living with her, but not too long after I went through a really bad breakup, I got so attached because I had just left my dad, and he was like the male figure, kind of, if that makes sense. I feel like that was also a big turning point because I had depression. I don't anymore. I'm thriving. I'm living my life for Jesus. And I feel like now that I'm living my life for him, I have a purpose, because before then, my dad used to make me feel like I wasn't worthy. I gave my life to Christ when I was invited to rodeo, because that was the first time I've ever been to anything for the church. And I heard that song that I was made for more, and that really hit me, and I just like broke down, and in that moment I gave my life to Christ. I feel like Jesus now is the father figure that I look up to, who I aspire to follow, and now I feel like I'm living my life with a purpose. Hey, my name is Paisley, and I'm here to get baptized to show my friends and family that I've placed my faith in Jesus.
All right, Paisley, I'm going to ask you a couple questions. Have you placed your faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins?
Yes.
And is it your desire to make that decision public in front of the entire church family?
Yes.
All right, then I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
All right, next we have Miles Reed. And I'm going to read his letter before his dad baptizes him. Hello, I'm Miles, and I am here today to share with you that I have placed my faith in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Jesus is important to me because I know he died on the cross for my sins. I made this decision one day when God was telling me that it was time to get baptized. I knew in my heart I was ready. I want to thank my mommy and daddy for helping me understand about Jesus. My name is Miles, and I want to get baptized because I'm ready to show people that I have placed my faith in Jesus Christ, and I love him so much. All right, Miles. All right, Miles, before your dad baptizes you, I'm going to ask you two questions. Have you placed your faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins?
Yes.
And is it your desire to show the church today that you're going to follow him the rest of your life?
Yes.
Okay, then your dad is going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yeah!
Hi, my name is Brooklyn Jones. My life before Christ was really stressful. I was worried and anxious about things I had no control over. I would say I was really lost. where I felt lost, and there was nobody I felt like I had a certain like firm relationship with. I was always like a real floater person, hopping from like friend to friend because I never felt like I had a true relationship with someone. I gave my life to Christ at one of the worship nights at Fuse. We were at the altar and I felt really touched, and I felt an overwhelming sense of just like joy, and I could like feel him like on my shoulder. And that's whenever I fully like put my faith in Jesus and gave my life to Christ. I'd say my life has changed since then because I'm a lot more happier. I've found my right group of people. I have Rosalie, I have Sloan, I have Kaylee, I have all of the people I'm surrounded by today. And I know that if I ever feel lost or something, I can come here, I can go to Jesus, I can go to God, I can pray over it, and I feel a lot more certain about the things in my life. My name is Brooklyn Jones, and I'm here today to get baptized to show my friends and family that I've placed my faith in Jesus Christ.
All right, Brooklyn, I'm going to ask you a couple questions. Have you placed your faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins?
Yes.
And is it your desire to make that decision public in front of your entire church family?
Yes.
All right, then I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, my name is Tyler Henderson. My life before Christ was just kind of going to church without really getting anything out of it, just going with my family. But eighth grade fall, I decided all my friends were talking about River Ridge, and I think the first time I went was a Momentum, and I started going consistently every Sunday since. I gave my life to Christ at Emerge Weekend 2024, and what happened was I had this just special moment at the altar where it just felt like Christ was there with me, and I just really had that connection, and I just knew from there on out that I wanted to give my life to Christ. To me, Jesus means everything. He's changed my life. He's my Savior. He died for us. He means everything. Since giving my life to Christ, I'd say my life has been a lot happier. I haven't been as sad. I've just came at life at a different perspective, and it's just been a lot better. My name is Tyler Henderson, and I'm here today getting baptized to show my friends and family that I put my faith in Jesus.
All right, I'm here with Tyler and a lot of the guys from his ninth grade small group. They wanted to be up here with him to share this celebration with him today. So Tyler, I'm going to ask you a couple questions. Have you placed your faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins?
Yes, I have.
Is it your desire to make that decision public in front of your small group and everyone in the entire church family today?
Yes, it is.
All right, I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Michael Wade. My life before Christ was really depressing. I hope that's a good word to put it. When I was 7, I was diagnosed with severe depression and anxiety, and that seeped into my life every day since I was 7. There was a big fear in everything I did, and I couldn't do anything. It was like I was drowning in my world. Day by day, I would just hope it would get better, but it wouldn't. Then each day, since that point, progressively got worse. And then when I was 11 or 12, I started to like try to make myself have good days. I would hang around with the wrong people, do the wrong things just to have a good day, because every day felt like I was just drowning in my own life, and I didn't want to drown. I didn't want to die at that point, but I just wanted to have a good day. But then eventually, as depression does, it takes away the joy in things, and that led to me hanging around with bad people that influenced my life negatively. And then they got me into all sorts of things that led me to sin, and I didn't think I was a good person because I wasn't, and I did awful things to people. Eventually, when I was 13, around New Year's, I was like, I'm gonna kill myself. Because bad people don't deserve to live, so I didn't deserve to live. I gave my life to Christ when it was, I'd say, the summer of 2024 in June or August. I remember it because that was one of the times where I was like, yeah, I'm gonna kill myself. And that's when I started to think back on God again, because I was raised religious. I just didn't know God truly at that point. Somebody unexpected came into my life, and it was like, yeah, we should be friends. And eventually, they led me to come to River Ridge. And then on the night of prayer, when people started talking about God and their experiences with God, I was like, that's amazing. And I couldn't believe that there was somebody that could love you so much that they would just do that for you, because I didn't know what love was. And then from that moment, I decided, yeah, I'm gonna follow God. Hi, my name is Michael Wade, and I'm here to get baptized to share my faith and trust in Jesus.
Thank you for sharing your story, man. Hey, I'm up here with you and your small group, and a lot of the church family are here, and I'm gonna ask you a couple questions, okay? Have you decided to place your faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins?
Yes.
And is it your desire to make that decision public in front of all your friends and family and the whole church family today?
Yes.
Then I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hey, my name is Seth Workman. So basically, I'd been at the church before, and I was serving and doing all that, and then once I, you know, had some tough life situations with relationships, it just turned to alcoholism and hard drugs, and I just kept doing that for, you know, 4 years, on the drugs for about a year and some change. And then I just finally had enough with it, and God was kind of tugging on my heart. I didn't really hear any voices, I didn't, you know, see anything physical. It was just like an internal change, like just go back to church, come back to God. Woke up and had to go to work, and then just had those thoughts going through my mind. I was kind of resistant to it a little bit, but I was still open to the idea of accepting it until I just broke down at work and texted my mom, and I wanted to go to her little concert that day that she had. And I remember sitting in that church, there were two flags that said hope and peace, and I just felt, you know, hope and peace. That's what I wanted, because yeah, I've been going through a lot, and I'll never forget that. So I texted Benji while I was at work, and just saying, hey, like, I need somebody to talk to, I need help with what I'm going through. And then I meet with Benji, I meet with Brandon, and we just, you know, talked about everything I'd went through when I had done. I was very open, very honest about everything, and we just sat there and we prayed and we were done. It was a very powerful, moving moment I'll never forget. My name is Seth. I'm here today to get baptized, publicly show my friends and family that I placed my faith in Jesus Christ.
Seth, your dad's gonna baptize you in just a second, but before we do that, I wanna ask you two questions. Have you placed your faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins?
Yes, sir.
And is it your desire to walk with him the rest of your life?
Yes, sir.
All right, then your dad is going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yes, Seth. Come on, dude.
Come on, everybody. Come on, let's praise God. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Come on. Amazing. Yeah, man, come on. Let's give him a standing ovation. Let's give God a standing ovation. He deserves it with what Jesus has done in our lives, in this world, with Jesus. Yeah, awesome. We cannot take this for granted. It is a privilege to witness this. It really is, and to, I don't know, we to see and hear, like here, what you just heard, are eight people who have come home. They're home. And I just want to say to everybody out there, the invitation is also yours to come home as well. There's an open invitation that Jesus gives you to come home and be set free. And that's what I'm going to talk about that a little bit today. It's actually kind of neat with where we are in our study because it fits so well. And so if you have your Bibles or electronics, go ahead and grab those, get those out, get your notes out there and open up to Luke chapter 9. So if you're new or visiting, we've been studying this letter from Luke over the last 5 weeks, and we're actually going to continue on all the way through Easter, but we're reading this letter that Luke wrote to his friend. God used it for bigger things, but really he wrote a letter to his friend to say, hey, I've investigated Jesus. Like I went all in. I dug deep. I talked to people who saw and witnessed all these things. And I am just wanting to tell you and give you the answer that what we're going after is this answer as well. Who is Jesus? And he wanted to tell his friend, I want you to know that what you believe is true. That who Jesus really is who he said he is. And so we've been following the life of Jesus as Luke recounts the testimonies that he heard, the eyewitnesses of him. And in Luke 9 here, where we're going to be, is we're going to see here in this moment that Jesus has, he's going to ask his friends a question, right? So hopefully you found your way there to Luke chapter 9. We're going to pick this up in verse 18. And here's what Jesus says. So it says, once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, who do the crowd say I am? And they said, well, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, they say that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life. And then Jesus turns and he says, yeah, but what about you? Who do you say I am? And Peter answered, God's Messiah. Okay, now, what I want to do is I want to get into this moment, but I want to bring some context in with everything that was going on to this point. Okay, so this is what happened. This is what the disciples of Jesus saw. So on top of all of the parables that Jesus taught out there to the crowds, on top of all of the teachings he had about the kingdom of God, which, by the way, amazed people about his teaching. Like, his teaching amazed people all the time. Here's also what the disciples saw just up to this moment, just in the letter of Luke. I'm going to show them to you. It's really small to read, but I'll tell you what they say. Here's what they saw. They saw Jesus cast out a demon in a man. They saw him heal a sick woman and then heal many. He filled the fisherman's net full of fish when they couldn't catch a thing, just in a snap of a finger. He cleansed and heals a leper. He heals a paralytic man who just stood up and started walking. He restored a man's withered hand on the spot, just restored it, became a regular hand. Healed diseases, cured people with unclean spirits. He healed a centurion's servant who was dying. He raised a dead man back to life. He calmed a raging storm with just a word. With a word, it just stopped. He heals a man with a legion of demons, which means thousands of demons in him, raises a girl from the dead, and then on his way to that, just heals a bleeding woman in passing, okay? And then he feeds 5,000 plus people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. So what we see here are 13 unique, miraculous things that Jesus did. And gang, listen, this isn't all of them. This is like just like Luke saying, this is what I remember hearing that everybody said. This is just like my summary statement up to this point. And Jesus, here's what I know Jesus probably did more prior to this point, but what we also know, because it's recorded, he went on to do way more. In fact, like when you study the 4 Gospels, what you will see are 37 unique miracles that Jesus did, from healing people to casting out demons, to walking on water, to turning water into wine, to raising the dead, and then turning a Happy Meal into a feast for thousands. Come on, everybody, like, amazing, right? And right in the middle of this, we're in this moment with the guys and Jesus. And I wanna go back again, and I wanna read with this context to capture this moment again. So let's go back in the middle of all this. Here's what Jesus says. So he says, hey, who do the crowd say I am? Right? And so they say, well, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others say there's a prophet who's come back to life. And then he says again, he says, well, what about you? Who do you say I am? And Peter says, God's Messiah. And we're going to keep reading. Here's what he says. This is what Jesus said to that. He said, Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. And he said this, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Okay, so in this moment, right here at this time, there are 2 firsts that happen right here in this scripture. This is the first time that the disciples declare Jesus is the Messiah. And this is also the first time that Jesus clearly states his mission and what is going to happen to him. So Jesus, again, he says, Who do you say I am? But he doesn't actually start with that. Did you notice that? He didn't start with who do you say I am. He actually starts by saying, hey, what's everybody else out there saying? Which I find odd. Like, I don't know why Jesus asked them about what others thought, because did it really matter what other people thought? Did it really matter? You know, I don't, but maybe that was Jesus's point here, because, you know, maybe we think too much about what others say. Maybe we tend to go with the crowds more than we believe we do. And honestly, I don't know why he asked it, because he doesn't even respond to their answer before he just turns right to him when they, he goes, yeah, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? And Peter says, well, you're God's Messiah. He's like, it's obvious, Jesus. With what we've seen and what we've heard, you are the anointed one of God. You are the Son of God. You are the Savior sent here by God to redeem the world and humanity. And right here in this moment, gang, this declaration is the turning point of the entire narrative. Because from this moment on, Jesus begins to clearly reveal his mission. And his mission, gang, here's the deal. Jesus's mission was not to perform earthly miracles. That was not his mission. But it's that the miracles pointed to something even bigger than that. So here's what I want to do this morning. If you get your notes out there, I want to give you three things to know about Jesus' miracles and why it's so great that we have them, that we get to read them and see them, and why they're so important for us today as we still ask this question, who is Jesus? So we're going to look at these miracles really quick and see what the relevance of them are. The first thing, if you're writing these down, is that the miracles of Jesus, they actually proved his authority. They revealed his authority. Right, so when you look at the why Jesus' miracles are so important here is because when you just take them at face value, right? When you just read them in black and white and you take them at face value, see, they force you to put Jesus in a category, right? They force you, you can't just be wishing, it's either one thing or the other. So they force you to make a decision. He's either God or everybody's lying. You see what I'm saying? Like everybody who said, yeah, that's what I saw, that's what happened, they're either all lying or he's God. You can't be in between. It forces you to make a decision because, gang, listen, normal people don't have this kind of authority over nature, biology, and the spiritual world. So it forces a decision, right? And for those of us who do say, yes, Jesus is the Messiah, he is my Savior, see, what we need to think about as believers is this, is that because Jesus has authority over everything, see, that matters when we're in a battle with anything. You hear what I'm saying, everybody? Like, it matters when we're in a battle. So because whatever it is, like whatever it is that we're going through, no matter what we're fighting against and fighting with, see, here's the thing. Because we know Jesus has authority over everything, we don't fight for victory. Come on, somebody, we fight from victory. You hear what I'm saying? Because when we get to this point where we feel overwhelmed, where we feel like it's too much, we feel helpless, we feel hopeless, and we honestly have those days where, you know, you go, honestly, I don't know if I could do this anymore. It's more than I can handle. What you need to know, is that Jesus already won the battle. It wasn't even close, and the same power is in you, so you can stand up and you can keep fighting. Amen, somebody out there? Come on, somebody. That's the first thing we need to know about Jesus' miracles. They reveal his authority. The second thing we need to know is that the miracles of Jesus, they also confirm Old Testament prophecy. Very important. Very important to know. So Jesus' miracles, they fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies that were written about Israel's Messiah. That was very important for people who grew up knowing their history in Israel and all those things. Here, in fact, let's look at what Matthew writes about it. Here's what Matthew said. This is just another miracle that happened to Jesus. But he said, that evening, many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus, and he cast out all the evil spirits with a simple command. And he healed all the sick. And this fulfilled the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, who said, he took our sicknesses and removed our diseases. And so, again, just it's really important to see that what Jesus did here, he did this to confirm through God's recorded history that he was indeed the Messiah that was written about thousands and thousands of years before he came to this earth, by the way. So it does that as well. And here's the third thing, if you're writing these down, here's the third thing, that the miracles of Jesus point to a greater purpose. They point to a greater purpose. So I want to talk about miracles just for a second. Because really, when we look at miracles, there's really two categories of miracles that God does. There's two that can happen. Both happen still today. But there are supernatural miracles. That's one set of miracles. That's the cancer disappears for like no explainable reason. They're splitting the sea in half, like feeding 5,000 kind of things. Like just, you know God did it because there's no other explanation. It still happens today. Those are the supernatural miracles. And then you also have these other miracles, which I just call life change miracles. They're life change miracles, which these are the times where God literally changes someone. That he changes your direction. He changes your heart. He brings you to faith in Jesus. Like this life change happens. And here's the thing about these two miracles, everybody. See, supernatural miracles, while they are amazing, right? And we praise God for them. We're like, wow, look at what God did right there. He didn't have to do it. They're amazing. But here's the thing about those miracles. See, they only last for as long as we're on this earth. You know, they have a time limit. There's a time limit on these supernatural miracles. Like, he could raise you from the dead, still gonna die. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's only gonna last as long as you're here on this earth, okay? But when God changes your heart, like when he changes you from the inside out, that lasts forever. That is an eternal miracle. And so I think that we get the greater and lesser miracles mixed up for some reason. I think the greater miracles are the ones that last forever. I think the greater ones are the eternal ones that changes from the inside out. And what we need to catch, gang, is this. We got to catch this. This is really important. Gang, I think we need to be a little less preoccupied with our physical condition than we do with our spiritual condition. Like, I think we need to be a little less worried about our kids' physical and academic and athletic condition and be way more preoccupied with where they stand with the Savior of the world and their spiritual condition, because nothing here lasts. Like, none of that, all that is going to go away. There's only really one. Even we don't even keep our bodies. Amen, everybody. You know what I mean? Like, I can't wait to know what my body's going to look like. I just know it's going to look better than this. Okay? Like, I don't know what it's going to look like. I just know it'll be better. And so I don't know. There's nothing else that's going to last. And so this is why it's so important, gang. See, this is why, and you can read this for yourself, Jesus was never content to just dispatch an earthly miracle. Every time you see it, his goal wasn't just to give you an earthly miracle. It was always to encounter a person. You read it for yourself. After every miracle, see, in the kingdom of God, this is why. Because miracle leads to meeting. Every miracle led to meeting Jesus. And they're changed from the inside out every single time. See, the miracle is not the means to an end. The miracle is just an encounter with this supernatural God that points us to the eternity that is waiting for us. He's calling us home. You get what I'm saying, everybody? Like, it's just very, very good to see. And so here's what I want to say. I want to ask you, this is just kind of where we're going to land today. I just want to ask you, in light of the teaching, in light of what we saw, have you experienced that miracle? Have you experienced the eternal miracle of the life change that comes through salvation in Jesus Christ? Have you come to know Jesus as your Savior? Because he's asking you today, who do you say I am? You got to make a decision. Who do you say? And the thing is, like, it doesn't matter what your parents say. It doesn't matter what you grew up saying. It doesn't matter if you go to church or not. He's saying, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you're the Messiah. And there are so many of us in here that would say exactly the same thing that Peter said as well. And here's the other thing, gang. We just witnessed person after person in their baptism testimony talk about all kinds, right? Did you know they talked about all kinds of stuff going on in their life? Just totally different stories. Every single one of them came to the same exact conclusion that regardless of what happened, regardless of how, where they came from, what went on in their life, what got healed and what even didn't get healed, it all came down to this one thing for them. Who do you say Jesus is? And their answer was, he's my Messiah. He is my Savior. He is the one who has rescued me from sin and death. And that is the greater miracle that happened in my life. Now I'm set free. I'm eternally saved. But it doesn't even matter what they say. Who do you say that Jesus is? See, Here's how the Christian life goes. This is how the Christian life goes. See, it begins, like, just take a step back and just think about it. It begins with, like, encountering God. But it's like, there's got to be more. There's no way this started from nothing. And if it didn't start from nothing, then it's like, well, there's got to be a greater thing in me. So you encounter God, right? And then you recognize, like, your humanity and then God who made everything. And then you kind of figure, oh, gosh, there's got to be a gap there between, like, my humanity and God and his greatness, right? That the gap is so big, right? And that my humanity, there's no way that's sufficient enough to be at level with this God who made everything. And then to consider being in a right relationship with him that he really wants for us, by the way, right? You need help. This is how it begins. This is what every follower of Jesus comes to a conclusion of. And then you realize, this is what we realize, that Jesus came for that very reason. He came to be that help. That God, in his great love for you, he said, guess what? I'm going to close that gap. You can't do it, you bonehead. I'll do it, right? And he's like, I'm going to send you my son. I'm going to close that gap for you. He came to give you what you need, which is a way to be perfect in God's sight. Jesus lived perfectly for you. And then when he died on the cross, see, we celebrate Easter because he came back from the dead. But what was the most important thing is when he died for you, you see, everybody, he died for you. He took, like, that is the penalty of our humanity. Just by being a human, there's a penalty, there's a cost when it comes to you and God, that we have sin in our life, stuff that just doesn't cause us to be perfect. And Jesus, who lived the perfect life, see, he sacrificed himself so that he could pay the price for you. He paid your bill of sin, which is death. And so he said, I'll die for you. And see, and then when you acknowledge that, when you accept and receive this free gift of forgiveness, see, the miracle is this, you get a new life. You get a new birth into the kingdom that lasts forever, forever. It's an eternal gift. And then the Christian life continues by you living a life of obedience to Jesus with, by the way, with God fully knowing that you're never gonna, like, nail it perfectly, but that's okay. Because we don't have to worry about that anymore because Jesus is the one who makes us perfect. Like, that when God sees you as a child of God who has accepted this already in their life, he sees Jesus in you. He sees perfection in you because of Jesus, which is another miracle, by the way. I mean, even you would admit that, like, you being perfect is a miracle, all right? And the person next to you, even a bigger miracle. Okay, don't look at him right now. But, like, it's amazing, right? It's crazy, shocking. And so how does this happen? How do I get the lasting miracle that Jesus came to give us? It's really simple. It's really simple. You need to turn your life over to Jesus. That's it. You need to trust God and you need to believe Jesus is the only power that can rescue you from sin and death. And so in order to receive this gift that's free, here's what you need to do. You need to repent. And what this means is, it's kind of a churchy word, but it actually has a simple meaning. All repent means is turn. That you need to turn from your life, your way, living for you and the sin that can mess you up, and you turn to God and his way. That's all. Repent is a literal turn. It's a decision that you make. Like, it's already been made for you through Jesus' death for you, but you got to decide, I'm going to leave this life of sin. I'm going to live for you forever now, God, because Jesus is who he said he is, that you repent. That is the key to accepting what Jesus did. And when you do that, see, you're no longer, this is awesome. This is all, you're no longer bound by sin. You are set free from the bondage of sin and what it does in this life. You have a new life with Christ because what the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And then it says, when that happens, see, you are a new creation. You're a new creation. The old's gone. Celebrate because the new's come. It's an amazing exchange that happens. And so here's what I want to do right now. I think there, like last service we saw it, I believe it's going to happen again this service. I don't know. I'm not the one to control this, but I really do believe somebody needed to receive that message. And somebody right now in this moment is ready to make Jesus the savior of your life. You've never done it before. You maybe have heard the stories. You've seen, but now you've come to a decision point. You said, I can't be wishy-washy about this. It's time. I'm going to make this decision today. I'm going to turn to God and I'm going to follow Jesus and I'm going to make him the savior of my life. And so if you want to accept that lasting miracle of Jesus and receive this new gift with you and turn towards God. I just want, so for all of us, here's what I want to do. I know not everybody here is a praying person. That's okay. We love that you're here. But what I want to ask, and the band can come up because we're going to worship here in a minute. But what I want to ask everybody right now is we're going to pray. I want everybody just to do me a favor. Please bow your heads, close your eyes. I just want to give anybody a moment right here. I'm just going to just give us a moment to just think about all of what we've been talking about, everything we've seen, just give you a moment just to give this to you and God, to anyone who wants to receive this gift of salvation. I just want to give you a second here. Okay, so eyes closed right now, heads bowed. If you are here, I believe God already did a work here. Like, I think he's already spoken to you. I think that you've already made that decision. But if you are ready to say yes, like I'm ready to give my life to Jesus. I'm done living for myself. I need God's love. I need God's mercy. I need his grace. I am ready to be forgiven. I am ready to be set free. That is me. I am ready. Here's all I want you to do. I want you to be bold right now. I want you to be bold right now. Everybody's got their eyes closed. This is between you and God, but I want you to make a bold declaration right now. If that's you and you're ready to do that, I just want you to raise your hand high in the air and just say, God, I'm ready. I want to acknowledge Cassie over there in the back. Raise it high so I can just hang it there for a second so I can see and acknowledge that this is happening right now in this moment. I see you over here in the middle. Anybody else to say, this is my day, this is it. I'm not gonna go any further in my life before I make Jesus my Savior. One more time, come on, anybody else ready? Raise your hands high. Awesome, awesome. Okay, you can put your hands down. What a day. What a day for you to make Jesus the Savior of your life. So here's what we're gonna do. I'm gonna pray a prayer for you, and here's the thing, I believe God already did a work in you. Salvation is happening in your life, but this prayer is just gonna help you mark this moment, to mark this time as the day of your salvation. And so you could pray this, you could pray it quietly, you could pray it, you could pray it out loud, you could pray as loud as you want, I don't care. This is with you and God. So here's what you could do, you could pray and mark this moment, you could pray this. God, thank you for loving me. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Today, I receive this gift of salvation. I need forgiveness of my sin for living my way and not your way. And today I proclaim Jesus Christ as my one and only Savior, that he and he alone is what I need. I fully surrender my life to you. And from this day on, I will live for Jesus. Amen. Amen. Come on, everybody. Let's welcome them into the kingdom, because we saw people pray that prayer. Come on, you can get louder than that. Man, that's amazing. It's an amazing thing. Wow. Wow. So listen, if you pray that prayer, which again, I saw every section, somebody had a hand up, okay? We're gonna stand up and worship here in a minute, but man, if you made that decision, this is the first step, all right? We wanna get you plugged in. We wanna get you the next step. So fill out a connect card that says, I pray to receive Jesus. Find